CJSF 90.1 FM Radio. Burnaby.
Segment of our show was a post-dated one, so some of the events referred to may already have happened. In this segment of our show, Ryan Yellowlees will be giving us an update on his protests against MAID. So in our last interview, you told me a little bit about your work raising awareness to speak out against MAID. What's the latest with that?
Well, like in the last couple of months, I've been emailed all 350 so MPs in Ottawa saying they need to support Bill C-218, which would make it illegal for MAID to be available for mental illnesses, which the government is planning to make available. So it would be counteract the legislation going in place in March of 17, 2027, that it would allow mental illness to qualify. But then Bill 2C18 would make it illegal for that to happen. So I've been supporting a politician that's been advocating for the bill, and it's going to be voted on in March. But I've emailed all the politicians at least twice about that. Got some negative reactions from the Liberals saying that I'm against human rights, which makes no sense. Because currently they're decreasing funding for disability services and stuff like that and making it easier access to get MAID. I don't know how that's human rights, but at all.
So in that sense, it sort of sounds like they're making it cheaper to take MAID rather than to live and to face one's situation.
Yeah, like currently even like for me, my respiratory equipment, the non-profit organization that I get respiratory equipment, the government decided to decrease the funding for that. And I'm hearing this story from a lot of other people with disabilities that their services are getting decreased. And then they're increasing the funding for MAID. So it's kind of turning to a forced choice situation that people with disabilities would rather get MAID done so they don't have to be starving or can't afford their medication. So they're opting to do it because of their... The government's not supporting them to live anymore.
So one would think that it would be a matter of the support systems in a person's life, talking to them about why MAID shouldn't be the first choice. I mean, it's a final answer to everything. You can't take your own life and then just turn around and say, oh, my funding situation has changed and I might have a shot at a better quality of life. Any thoughts on this?
It was like forced choice. Like it's not really a choice. The government's kind of forcing their hand because it's either like for some people with disabilities, it's either they suffer because the government won't support them or death, and some would rather choose death than starving or suffering because they don't have the medication. They don't have the medication they need to like function.
So do you have any advice out there for folks on an individual level they can take to get better informed and to take steps to make this illegal, which, in my personal opinion, it very much should be?
Well, I think, like, we could take steps, like, by supporting Bill 2C18 to make it so that mental illness will not qualify for MAID, would prevent the slippery slope to continue in, because then eventually that progresses and people's mental disabilities could get made because they could get a mental health diagnosis easier than their health decision maker, substitute decision maker, or their family could make that decision for them to end their lives. If that's a switch in the safeguards or small tweak in the safeguards and mental illness allowed for me, then people with developmental disabilities will be the next target. So we don't stop it from being spread to mental illness. It's going to spread and spread to all types of disabilities eventually. So writing to your local politicians telling them to support Bill 2C18 would be a good step, or writing to the MP saying you're not happy with what's going on.
So if you could send any message to the community about why this slippery slope cannot happen, what would you say?
That if we don't do anything and we don't stand up and say we're angry and we don't write letters for politicians, then it won't, then it will progress. But if we stand up and say this is not right, that we need assistance in living, not only assistance in dying, that if enough of us write letters for local MPs across Canada and support Bill C-218 and demand that we get better services.
So, isn't it kind of short-sighted on the part of the politicians? I mean, anyone can acquire a disability at any time, and if it becomes too expensive for one of them who acquires one to live, you suppose if the tables were turned, that they'd want someone pressuring them to take the out, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of ironic that eventually all people, including politicians, will get a disability because of age. Then when they're in the situation, then they'll understand, but they've already done all the damage in politics to allow the laws to get to that point. But by the time they regret the decision, it's already too late for any change to be done.
So what are your next steps?
Well, I think my next steps? Are you referring to me or referring to, in general, everybody?
You as an advocate.
Honestly, my next steps for preventing the slippery slope from progressing to all types of disabilities for me is, I guess I'm doing like a speech for a developmental disability conference at the University of Toronto Faculty of Science, and I'll be speaking to doctors, healthcare educators, and families with developmental disabilities. And then in June, I'm going to do another speech for the Global Leadership Exchange in June about why it should not progress. And then there's going to be lots of notable people in the audience around the world.
I'd thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. In this segment of our show, Jasmine Santos will be telling us a little bit about Mission Breathe. So what can you tell me about the work you did on Mission Breathe?
So I help them with the educational content. What would be relevant for the kids, easy to understand, the different stations, like what would, you know, work for them and would be easiest for them to navigate. I used my background as a registered nurse and certified respiratory educator for the, like, educational components of it and fact-checking.
So, out of curiosity, what was the inspiration behind putting together a game on the subject?
So that was not my idea. I don't know. I think maybe they just wanted something that was kind of interactive for kids and would help them better understand their asthma and ways to treat it.
So, in that sense, do you find that it's an interesting idea, using something kind of cool and relatable to get the idea across about asthma as a condition?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
What are your thoughts on using a video game, which is kind of a cool and relatable way to get information across? What are your thoughts on how kids might relate to it?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, as we know, kids are playing video games all the time, watching TV, that sort of thing, and I think that the visual aspect of it plus the game, it gets their brain moving and thinking and using, a little bit of critical thinking to decide, okay, so thinking about themselves, for example, like, okay, when I get ready for school, what do I need to bring to school? And then kind of relating it to their asthma, I guess.
So, in your work, have you ever encountered any myths or stereotypes concerning asthma?
Probably. Let me try and think. That's a good question that I might have to come back to because I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Stereotypes, let me think, like related to children or in general?
In general, concerning asthma.
That people who have asthma can't live a normal life is one of them, I guess.
So?
That they can't exercise, they can't play sports.
So you mentioned you do some education work. Do you ever speak to any of these matters as to how a person can still live a full life even with asthma?
All the time. Almost every day in my practice, I do. We discuss ways that you can continue to play sports and live your normal life while dealing with asthma.
Do you find the patients are typically receptive to the idea that they still can participate fully in life?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're a little apprehensive about it, but I just try and give them the tools that they can use in their life to be able to still participate in everything. Tools, tips, lots of things I tell them. They're like, oh, I didn't even think of that. And I do pretty close, like in my day job, I do really close follow-up with patients. So I'm able to, follow up with them and ask them, okay, did you try taking your puffer 15 minutes before playing sports? And did it help? And it makes them feel a little more confident because they're getting that frequent follow-up.
So to switch back gears toward the game, were there any challenges in putting together the educational content?
Not really. I found it pretty straightforward.
Is this the sort of thing that can be updated as new advancements come out? Can the information?
Yeah, definitely.
So, in your time working with asthma patients, is there any success moment or story that stands out for you that you'd like to share?
Sure. I have a patient that, let me try and think about how to say it without giving any details away, like confidentiality-wise. Well, I can tell you in general, like I have patients who, want to work out, want to play sports, unable to do it, or running. Okay, I have one that loved running outside, but then in the winter, asthma is way too bad. They're way too short of breath. They can't go for their runs outside. So gave them some tips on what to do. For example, taking their Ventolin, their rescue inhaler 15 minutes before going outside to kind of open up those airways. Wearing a scarf over their mouth and their nose because then that cold air, it's you're warming it if you're breathing into your scarf instead of the cold air hitting directly into your lungs. Making sure you're doing a good warm-up before starting your run. And I've had them come back and say, I tried your tips. They work great. Now I can go for my runs. I don't have any issues. They're not having to stop and use their rescue inhaler during their run like they used to.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for proper education concerning asthma, what would you say?
I would say that everybody should have an updated asthma action plan. They should be following that action plan. It should be displayed somewhere in their house where other people can see it. Family, friends, everybody should know you have asthma. They should know your treatment, especially children. I'm really big on advocacy with keeping your puffer on you, not locked in a principal's office at the school, making sure that the teachers know that they have asthma, know their action plan, and knowing the interventions that need to be taken in a timely manner, because we know that asthma can progress very quickly, and an asthma attack can progress very quickly without the proper treatment, right? So I say I want people to advocate for themselves. I want parents to advocate for their children in ensuring that they have access to their puffers at all times, and that everybody is aware of their action plan and what to do and when.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thanks. Andy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Drivers who use handheld devices such as cell phones are 4 times more likely to get into crashes serious enough to cause injury or even death. Brain injuries such as those caused by distracted driving kill more people under the age of 20 than any other causes combined. When you text and drive, you not only put your own life at risk, but the lives of others on the street around you. Go to leavethephonealone.ca, take the pledge to only drive and never text, and help to put an end to distracted driving. Everyone deserves to travel on our roads without fear.
Welcome back to Handy Link. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard about the CARES Foundation from Dina Matos, and we heard about Ryan Yellowlees' ongoing work to protest against MAID. In this segment of our show, Jasmine Santos will be telling us a little bit about Mission Breathe. So what can you tell me about the work you did on Mission Breathe?
So I help them with the educational content. What would be relevant for the kids, easy to understand, the different stations, like what would, you know, work for them and would be easiest for them to navigate. I used my background as a registered nurse and certified respiratory educator for the educational components of it and fact checking.
So, out of curiosity, what was the inspiration behind putting together a game on the subject?
So that was not my idea. I don't know. I think maybe they just wanted something that was kind of interactive for kids and would help them better understand their asthma and ways to treat it.
So, in that sense, do you find that an interesting idea, using something kind of cool and relatable to get the idea across about asthma as a condition?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
What are your thoughts on using a video game, which is kind of a cool and relatable way to get information across? What are your thoughts on how kids might relate to it?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, as we know, kids are playing video games all the time, watching TV, that sort of thing, and I think that the visual aspect of it plus the game, it gets their brain moving and thinking and using, a little bit of critical thinking to decide, okay, so thinking about themselves, for example, okay, when I get ready for school, what do I need to bring to school? And then kind of relating it to their asthma, I guess.
So, in your work, have you ever encountered any myths or stereotypes concerning asthma?
Probably. Let me try and think. That's a good question that I might have to come back to because I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Stereotypes, let me think, like related to children or in general?
In general, concerning asthma.
That people who have asthma can't live a normal life is one of them, I guess.
So?
That they can't exercise, they can't play sports.
So you mentioned you do some education work. Do you ever speak to any of these matters as to how a person can still live a full life even with asthma?
All the time. Almost every day in my practice, I do. We discuss ways that you can continue to play sports and live your normal life while dealing with asthma.
Do you find the patients are typically receptive to the idea that they still can participate fully in life?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're a little apprehensive about it, but I just try and give them the tools that they can use in their life to be able to still participate in everything. Tools, tips, lots of things I tell them. They're like, oh, I didn't even think of that. And I do pretty close, like in my day job, I do really close follow-up with patients. So I'm able to, follow up with them and ask them, okay, did you try taking your puffer 15 minutes before playing sports? And did it help? And it makes them feel a little more confident because they're getting that frequent follow-up.
So to switch back gears toward the game, were there any challenges in putting together the educational content?
Not really. I found it pretty straightforward.
Is this the sort of thing that can be updated as new advancements come out? Can the information?
Yeah, definitely.
So, in your time working with asthma patients, is there any success moment or story that stands out for you that you'd like to share?
Sure. I have a patient that, let me try and think about what I'm saying without giving any details away, like confidentiality-wise. Well, I can tell you in general, like I have patients who, you know, want to work out, want to play sports, unable to do it, or running. Okay, I have one that loved running outside, but then in the winter, asthma is way too bad. They're way too short of breath. They can't go for their runs outside. So gave them some tips on what to do. For example, taking their Ventolin, their rescue inhaler 15 minutes before going outside to kind of open up those airways. Wearing a scarf over their mouth and their nose because then that cold air, it's you're warming it if you're breathing into your scarf instead of the cold air hitting directly into your lungs. Making sure you're doing a good warm-up before starting your run. And I've had them come back and say, you know, I tried your tips. They work great. Now I can go for my runs. I don't have any issues. They're not having to stop and use their rescue inhaler during their run like they used to.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for proper education concerning asthma, what would you say?
I would say that everybody should have an updated asthma action plan. They should be following that action plan. It should be displayed somewhere in their house where other people can see it. Family, friends, everybody should know you have asthma. They should know your treatment, especially children. I'm really big on advocacy with keeping your puffer on you, not locked in a principal's office at the school. Making sure that the teachers know that they have asthma, know their action plan, and knowing the interventions that need to be taken in a timely manner, because we know that asthma can progress very quickly, and an asthma attack can progress very quickly without the proper treatment, right? So I say I want people to advocate for themselves. I want parents to advocate for their children in ensuring that they have access to their puffers at all times and that everybody is aware of their action plan and what to do and when.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thanks. Sad truth, my friends, is that when it comes to issues like MAID, there'll always be a controversy. These are hard times for everyone. The economic situation can lead anyone to think there's no hope for a better tomorrow. Now that is not a reason to consider ending it all, especially for someone with a disability who can live a productive, full life. Now there's a case to be made for relief of suffering. I don't dispute that there may be some legitimacy to that. But the fact of the matter is, it's not something you can change your mind on. You can't just backpedal and say, oops, I changed my mind. And we shouldn't be encouraging this as a quick fix-all to our problems. Should definitely not be encouraged or even made available to those with mental health concerns. They might decide one thing one day and have no opportunity to decide something else the next. Certainly not because we consider one life more productive or more potential than another. Fact is, it's a final exit, and you can't undo that once it's been done. There should be extensive testing and extensive regulation before this is in any way offered to someone with a disability, or anyone else for that matter. Fact is, economic times are hard. It's the situation today. It might not be the situation tomorrow, but it takes a unified community, and yes, it even takes the insights and the ideas of folks with disabilities. My friend Sean Wiltshire, when he's on the show talking about disability employment matters, talks about how they bring new potentials to the table, new concepts that the able-bodied workforce might not necessarily think of. If we miss those opportunities simply because we decide, oh, it's okay for you to end your life just because it's cheaper to die than to live, we would miss that entirely, to say nothing of the fact that no matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, somebody loves you. Somebody's life has been better because of having you in it, or will be better because you're in it. Now, this is just my own thoughts on the subject. You can agree, you can disagree, but the truth is, for folks with disabilities, there should be a lot of scrutiny going into this. It can't be just a pablum answer. I mean, people might see it as a relief. They might see it as ending their own burdens, ending other people's burdens. But really, there should be a lot of questions asked before that decision is reached. An individual with a disability has every right not only to live, but to thrive in the world today. Yes, economic times are tough, but folks with disabilities are an untapped workforce, as so few of us tend to realize. They can do some good if we just give them the space and the opportunities to do it. I mean, yeah, maybe a company's done something one way for 100 years. That doesn't mean it's necessarily the most effective way to do it. Might be working, but is it working to its full potential? This is a question we must ask when considering letting someone with a disability be a part of a workplace situation. Honestly, people with disabilities might have depressed periods, especially with an acquired injury, and they might lose sight of tomorrow. But I would encourage anyone out there who's in a struggling place, take a long, hard look at your life. Ask the question, is this necessarily permanent? Or is there a focal point, a source of strength I can hold on to, that I can look to in my dark times? For some, it's spirituality. For others, it's sport. For others still, it's art. But look for it before you say it doesn't exist. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Towers, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC. Diverse, independent, yours.
Cheese, please, yes. Cheese, please, you're so fine.
You want to listen all the time. Snuff, Dude, and Daffodil spin the hits. It's all cheesy music. They love it to bits. Well, Snuff, Dude is the man in the band. Find
the cheesy music is his only plan. Daffodil is sugar, but she's also spice. She might be saucy, but she can be pretty nice. All the cheesy music, bacon scrounge. You'll hear the favorites in the Limburger lounge. Playing all that is wacky, warped, and weird. Ghoul and cheesy music is not to be feared. Celebrity slip-up.